Welcome to Bassmaster Radio, presented by Phoenix Boats, the show for fishermen by fishermen. Today's show is brought to you by Enigma Fishing, Cast, Catch, Repeat. Visit Anderson, South Carolina, home of beautiful Lake Hartwell. Phoenix Boats, experience the difference. And by the Bass Anglers Sportsman Society. Now here's lifetime BASS member, Tom Abraham.
Welcome to this week's episode of Phoenix Boats Bassmaster Radio. I'm Tom Abraham, your guide for the next hour as we feature the Bassmaster Elite Series and those looking to get into that exclusive group through the St. Croix Bassmaster Open Series and the up-and-comers on the Strike King Bassmaster College Series and the tens of thousands of Bass Nation anglers around the country competing on the local level, all with a chance to advance to the big leagues of professional fishing. The Bass Nation operates youth, high school, and college programs, including a Junior Bassmaster Championship, High School National Championship, the College National Championship, and the College Bracket Event leading up to a Bassmaster Classic berth. The Bass Nation is at the grassroots of who we are. And for more information on how to become a member or to start a Bass Nation club, visit Bassmaster.com and click on the Nation tab. Now, the best way to communicate with the show is to visit our Facebook fan page at Facebook.com/Bass or on Twitter at Bassmaster and use the hashtag Bass Radio. You can also listen to all the shows at Bassmaster.com/radio or just hit the Nation button at Bassmaster.com and click on Bassmaster Radio. We also encourage you to visit our YouTube page at Bassmaster Radio for video versions of interviews with select guests. That's YouTube.com/Bassmaster Radio. Well, I hope you all are enjoying this Independence Day weekend as we celebrate living in the greatest country on the planet. Of course, that is my opinion, but it's an opinion that I think many in our audience would agree with. Now, we are in a summer break, if you will, on the Elite Tour, and the next event on the St. Lawrence River out of Clayton is just a couple of weeks away. So I thought we'd look back at the last three events and recap them winning ways style. Jason Christie added another blue trophy to his swollen trophy case with a win at Chickamauga to go with this year's classic win. Now, he's coming up in the leadoff role. Then it was Lee Livesey going back-to-back with an opens win and then another elite win on his home waters at Lake Fork. Now, he did all of this with his new baby looking on, who had never seen Daddy lose at this point. And speaking of family and opens wins, Brandon Lester picked up his first elite win at Pickwick and promptly headed for the beach with the family and the blue trophy. Now, we'll revisit that as well. It's all coming up on a special edition, a Winning Ways episode.
Welcome back to Bassmaster Radio, presented by Phoenix Boats. Now, here's your host, Tom Abraham.
Welcome back, Phoenix Boats Bassmaster Radio, and this a special Winning Ways edition of the show. And, you know, Jason Christie, what a year so far. I mean, he is the Bassmaster Classic champion, and then on top of that, he went and won at the Guaranteed Rate Bassmaster Elite at Chickamauga Lake. Here was our discussion with Jason Christie. Jason, welcome back to the show. How are you?
I'm great. How are you guys?
Oh, fantastic. Man, just talk about what it has been like since you won the Classic, because I think that people don't understand the demand that is on your time once you win one of those things. It's not like you win it, you get your money and your trophy, you go home, and nobody calls you anymore.
Yeah, you know, I'm just trying to catch my breath still from the Classic. And, you know, it was just starting to slow down a little bit. And then, you know, we get a trophy at Chick, and it's just, it's picked right back up. But it's a good problem.
Yeah.
I'm not griping. Don't get me wrong.
There are thousands of people around the country that are saying right now, you're not complaining about winning $400,000 over the last 5 weeks, are you? But that is that is the nature of the game.
No, I wouldn't trade it. You know, I've been after that Classic trophy for a while, and there is a lot of demand that comes with the Classic. I had no idea. But I guarantee you next year, you know, in the next Classic, if they're standing up there and they say, hey, you know, you may have a chance at this trophy, but you got to do all of the stuff after, I'll be like, bring me the trophy, because I'll do it. I'll do it every year as long as they keep, as long as I keep, you know, if I have a chance to win, I'll do it. It's a great trade.
Yeah. 73 pounds, 7 ounces for the win. It's a little less than what I thought it would take. I thought this would be an 80-pound tournament at least. But what a weird deal this was weather-wise, how it just kept changing. Did you have a good vibe going in that you felt like you were on something, or is this something that developed during the week?
It definitely developed during the week. I had some bites, I'm not going to lie to you, and I had some quality bites in practice, but I was catching those 3 to 5 pounders, and more so the 3s and the 4s than the 5s. And, you just expect going into Chickamauga that, like you said, you got to bounce around that 25 pounds at least a couple of days throughout the week to have a chance to win. And, as the tournament progressed, as the weather changed and things like that, we all kind of realized that it wasn't going to take as much weight as we all thought it would. And that's whenever – I started getting a little bit excited because, I thought my stuff was getting a little better. And, I saw that weather coming on the last day. So I kind of figured it was going to be tougher on a lot of the guys, including me. It was. It's one of those deals where everything came together. There wasn't a high note, like a something great that happened. I pulled out some secret bait or some secret fishing hole. It was just a combination of everything from the weather to a lot of the things that I was doing. It just worked out. Did not lose a fish. And that's 2 events this year that I've won that I've not lost a bass. And that just doesn't happen very often, fishing a 4-day event.
Yeah, some of that has to go to the style of your fishing. I mean, we saw guys that were fishing big swim baits. Carl Jacobson had a heartbreaking day on day 2 with the swim bait where, he was hooking up. He was hooking up 6 and 7 pounders that he couldn't get in the boat. But it seems like, when you fish a spinner bait and when you fish a bladed jig as much as you do, it feels like those fish are less apt to come unbuttoned. Is that an accurate thought between that and, say, the swim bait, the big swim baits?
Yeah, I would think so. I don't have a lot of experience throwing those big swim baits, but, as a rule, I think from what I hear, those, you're kind of playing with fire with those bigger baits. But even fishing the way I do, I did the past week, spinner bait and flip and bladed jig, you're still apt to lose one or two over a 4-day period. And,
right.
The same way with the Classic, right now, everything is rolling downhill. Everything's working out, not losing fish, making good decisions. All of the equipment is spot on. So, I just want to stay on the ride for as long as I can.
Jason Christie with us off his win at Chickamauga, and certainly a great win it was by some 4 pounds or so. Did you had those days on day 2 and day 3 when you're looking at nearly 21 pounds both of those days? You had 15 pounds on the final day. Now, it was a different kind of day. It was calm. It was bluebird skies. Did you feel like you had a shot when you were coming in with 15, 12? Because as it turned out, I mean, you hammered the field on the last day. I mean, nobody else had more than 12 pounds when you had that 15 pounds. Did you feel like coming in that you might have a winning total, or did you feel like, maybe you're just top 5?
No, absolutely not. I thought I had zero chance of winning that event coming in. It wasn't one of those, when I was idling in and I thought, man, you messed this up. I was just, I was talking to myself. Hey, you just didn't get any big bites today, and it just wasn't your time. And, as I start getting closer to weighing, people start, hey, good job. They all look at Bass Track,
sure.
Good job. And I'm like, what are you talking about? There's absolutely impossible that one of these guys didn't catch 20, 22, 23 on the last day. And, it was just a weird fishing day. Had I not had that flurry early where I caught, 3 of my biggest fish in the first 30, 45 minutes. I mean, it was a tough fishing day. So I just, it just all worked out for me on that last day.
Now, do you check Bass Track yourself when you're coming in? I mean, I don't know what the rule is when you're allowed to check it, but when you're idling in and you're coming in that river to get into Dayton, do you take a look at Bass Track yourself at all, or do you ignore it?
No, I don't look at it. It just, Most of the guys lie anyway, so there's no use looking at it.
You knew which way it was going to go. Talk to us about the technique, and when do you make the decision to go from a spinnerbait to go to a bladed jig? Because a lot of people think that they're interchangeable, but obviously they're not.
No, you know, I like some dirtier water when I'm throwing a spinnerbait. And, you know, when the event started, they had a little bit of rain, and a lot of the places I was fishing was still pretty chalky, dirty, and you know, I was just alternating. I was still alternating between a spinnerbait, you know, the War Eagle jig and the bladed jig. But as the tournament progressed, you know, they started getting some rain in the area up north and around Chickamauga there. So they started drawing a lot of the water faster, and it started clearing up. And everybody knows how much I love to throw that covert spinnerbait, but you know, it just started getting too clear, and I couldn't get those fish to react. So, you know, I had to switch over to that bladed jig and make, you know, move that bait a little bit faster. And just, you know, I just had to do what I had to do to get them to react.
Yeah, good point. Jason Christie with us here. All right, so it's on to Fork. You've had some success there. Last time you were there with the Bassmasters, it was a middle of the pack finish. What's your thought process about going into Fork?
You know, honestly, I haven't even thought about it. Like I said, I got a kitchen here full of things that I have to give some attention, but you know, looking down the road, it's probably going to be pretty good. The last that I checked, the lake was still really low.
Well, the taxes that you have to file, at least they're for 2021, because that 2022 tax return, they're going to take a little bigger chunk out of you. I just want you to know that, obviously, the way you're rolling right now. And look, I promise I'll leave you alone, for God's sakes, if you don't win anymore. I won't bother you if you don't win. But if you win, if you're top three, I got to get you in. You got to come on Bassmaster Radio. So, hopefully for your sake, I do bother you. And if not, you know, it is what it is.
Right. Well, it's a good trade. Like I said, there's something that comes along with doing well, and I'll take that anytime.
Yeah.
So I have no problem with it.
That was Jason Christie coming off of his win at Chick. Of course he has no problem with it. Are you kidding me? Just keep piling up trophies and piling up the cash as well. All right, we're going to break in here. When we come back, how about Lee Livesey? He went to Fork and did what he does at Fork. That's next right here on a special Winning Ways edition of Phoenix Boats Bassmaster Radio on the Bassmaster Radio Network.
Welcome back to Bassmaster Radio, presented by Phoenix Boats. Now, here's your host, Tom Abraham.
Now, welcome back to Phoenix Boats Bassmaster Radio. This special Independence Day weekend show, a little bit of winning ways from our last three tournaments. And, you know, Lee Livesey, it's becoming kind of a trend. These guys winning an open championship and then turning around and winning an elite championship. He did it, his home waters of Lake Fork. He did it with another century belt. He did it with 113 pounds. This was our conversation with Lee coming off the win. Lee, welcome back to the show. You're becoming a regular, man. How are you?
I'm good, man. Thanks for having me on. Hopefully I become a regular. That would be good.
This is nuts. I mean, this is now, you know, it's interesting. We talked to Gerald Swindle earlier. He was very complimentary of you. He talked about how difficult it is to win on your home waters as well. But you know, G's been doing this for 20-some-odd years and still doesn't have that blue trophy. He's a two-time AOI champion. You have won three times now on the Elite Series plus an Open in the last, like, 24 months. This is crazy. This is getting to be really heady stuff with these wins.
Man, it is, and I'm not complaining at all. It really hasn't hit me yet, I'm sure, you know, but man, it's good for business and my family, and it's all been really, really cool. It's happened really quick, and I just hope I can keep it rolling. You know, it just makes me want to win another one really bad. It's all it does.
So you and your wife had a new baby just a month ago or so, and she has never seen you lose. So basically, are you concerned that, if you don't win at Pickwick that she's going to look up at you with those big eyes like, Daddy, where's our trophy? You know, how come we don't have a trophy for this one?
Yeah, she's two for two.
You know, you mentioned it being good for business. Talk about that a little bit because, I mean, you're Longview, Texas. It's not like you have a dock on the lake and you live right there. You live about an hour or so from the lake. You do guide there. Obviously, you talked about how you knew, you know, every inch of that water and still found new water to fish at the end of the tournament. But what is the impact on your business? How often are you actually guiding?
Man, I probably only guided 3 weeks since last year when I won in April or the 1st of May, I think, last year. So I just, you know, I'm always gone.
Yeah.
But when I say good for business, I'm not talking about my guide business. I'm talking about my
your pro business.
Bassmaster business.
We see guys fish their home waters all the time, and it used to be you never went on your home water. I mean, that used to be kind of the mantra, is it was really difficult for guys to get it done on their home water. You almost knew too much about the lake. For you to win back-to-back with the pressure of the locals and everything else, just talk about that, the difficulty. Do you find it easy? Do you feel like you can go out there and catch 113 pounds every 4 days? Or is it something that is kind of hard?
It's definitely hard. You know, it's probably the most miserable week of my year, for sure. And it's just, you know, the pressure from all the locals and the family and the sponsors and everybody being there and having to accommodate everybody and just all the interviews and radios and articles. It's just, it's a really weird week. Obviously, I'm not griping about it. I would want to be there every tournament if we could. And
yeah.
You know, I want to catch 120 plus every tournament, not 113. You know, I feel like I left some meat on the table, but still ended up winning by 10 pounds or whatever it was. You know, one day we're going to get there and I'm going to hit it right and catch a big bag.
Well, you thought that the record might go down. You thought it could be a 135-pound tournament or something like that going in. If anything, and we had changing weather throughout the tournament, what would have stopped that from happening, if you will?
We were just on the backside of that moon phase, man. We were in a down cycle week just as far as fishing goes. And those fish, you know, the first practice, there was a bunch of big schools out there, and they were biting really good. And, you know, I probably had 30 schools the first day, you know, the first couple of days of practice. And every day they just dwindled. And at the end of the deal, there were zero schools out there left almost. I mean, just a few of them. And people were on those few schools, and they got beat up too, but it's just we just missed it by a week, you know, just timing wise with the moon phase when those fish were active.
Do you think there's something other than the slot limit? And, you know, obviously it's a catch and release lake for the most part. A lot of people attribute that to why that lake is so great. But there's got to be something more than that, because a lot of fishermen, many fishermen now practice catch and release anyway. It's not like people are going there to, you know, fill the table with 9-pound bass. Why do you think Fork is so special right now?
There's just a few things. The lake's just naturally really fertile. The soil content where the lake's built, it's got really good genetics, obviously, from Texas Parks and Wildlife, stocking fish, stocking right fingerling, stocking chernalunker program fingerling. And it's just got a big forage base with shad and brim and bluegill and crawfish, everything that the bass are eating. It's just a really fertile, you know, lake from top to bottom on the food chain, and those fish get to grow with the slot. And it's a lot of it's Texas Parks and Wildlife just making it, you know, what it is.
Yeah. Lee Livesey with us here. I would be remiss if I didn't mention you are a Texan. If I didn't mention the horror from earlier in the week, you know, what happened there outside of San Antonio with the school shooting. Any thoughts on that, just as a Texan, you know, when you saw that thing unfold?
Oh, just like everybody else in the world when they saw it, just unimaginable, you know. Couldn't, you know, you can't even fathom what happened there. It's just a terrible, terrible event, you know, and we're just thinking about all those families and what we can do to prevent it the next time. It's just tragedy, man. We're thinking about y'all out there, and it's crazy that can happen in our state, and it just terrifies me as a father and a stepfather that could happen to a child. And it's just it's, I can't even think about it, to be honest.
It does make you want to go home and hug your kids, that's for sure, and keep them safe. Lee Livesey with us here. You talked about the last time we had you on, which was just a few weeks ago, when you won the Open. You were locked into the Classic, and you talked about how good that was, being the fact that you were locked in and you would fish freely, and this was your first tournament since then. You're going to screw around and double qualify, though. You keep fishing like this. I mean, you've moved right into Classic position on your points as well, but did you actually feel any of that going into this tournament? After you knew that you were secure and that you would be in the 2023 Classic, did it actually kind of change your outlook and your fishing at all?
Yeah, it did for sure. You know, it let me, kind of gamble on some early stuff and not squat on anything and just fish free and look around a little bit more. So it definitely helped me for sure. I'm positive. You know, it definitely was a relief to be in the Classic and not have to worry about those points at all. So, you know, we still got a shot to triple qualify. We can get back in the Classic just regular, and we can win the Mississippi River and triple qualify. That's the next goal.
That would be cool. I mean, it's not like they're going to let you fish the next three if you do that, if you triple qualify, but, I mean, why not? You'll help some other. Yeah, let me tell you something. There'll be some guys down the points list that'll be hoping you do that. You know, that's for sure. You know, let a few other guys into that deal. Lee Livesey with us off his win at Lake Fork. Now, you made this a little bit exciting on Saturday and Sunday by getting off to slow starts compared to what you did on Thursday and Friday. Just talk about, did you ever feel like, you know, this might be getting away from me? I'm going to be the guy that comes in with 10 pounds, you know, here on my home lake, on, with a big lead. Or did you feel like, I'm not worried, if I don't catch him here, I got another spot or another spot or another 100 spots?
Well, you know, obviously you're going to feel like that when you're not catching them like you had been the first 2 days. It crept in the back of my mind that third day, especially when I lost those first three better fish. But at the end of the day, I had that one spot I kept going to that just kept producing, you know, 20, 25 plus. And I was confident I could go there and get 20 to 30 pounds. And you know, it just worked out. You know, some of that stuff is history in my mind. But I looked a bunch each day. I had the opportunity to look around a lot, and I didn't find anything. I grabbed for hours every single day of the tournament, didn't find anything new, but it was a good thing. You know, it made me say, hey, just go put your time in on that spot and catch what you can off of it, and that's what we did.
Yeah. We saw you use a big hog farmer hair jig for a while in this deal, but I want you to just give us a little 411 on your technique with that, because a lot of guys will rip that thing up off the bottom, let it settle, rip it off the bottom, and it looked like you were, you know, reeling it fast and stop. Talk about what that looks like under the water and why that technique.
Yeah, it's actually a really good technique to catch some pressured fish and big ones. You know, I think I caught like a 7-12 on it day one. I don't know, I caught a big one. But you're just throwing it out there, you know, letting it go all the way to the bottom, keeping your rod, you know, about 10 o'clock. 9 or 10 o'clock, and just reeling it. You know, I like to reel it, you know, 3 to 5 times, depending on how deep it is. And you just kill it and just hold your rod still and let it fall back to the bottom. As soon as it hits the bottom, you reel it another 3 to 5 times, kill it, let it go back down. And they're going to hit it on the way down every time. When it's dropping, it's just going to go doink, you know, just one little thump. So it's just a reaction. It pulls them up off the bottom, or if they're suspended, it pulls past their face, and then it falls down in their face real soft, and it's real natural. It's not really loud or anything like that, and you can get some really good bites doing that.
So when you're reeling it, you're not dragging it then. So that quick little reel action that you're talking about does actually lift the bait up, not as much as maybe yo-yoing it, but it does get it up off the bottom a little bit. It's not like you're bouncing it along the bottom.
No. You're reeling it up, you know, 3 to 5 foot off the bottom, and then killing it, letting it fall back down.
Do you feel like you have to have a relatively clear water situation for that, or is that something that would work as well in a stained water situation? A lot of rain in the south this past week. People want to know whether or not they should throw that hair jig.
You know, it just depends how. You're not going to catch them in chocolate milk on it or anything, but if it's been raining on the Tennessee River and it's got some color to it, you're still going to catch them. You know, that's when you throw that white chartreuse, you know, white and red, stuff like that. It's a good bait. I had three of them tied on, three different sizes over there. So you can obviously tell that it's a bait that I have confidence in, and I'll be throwing it next week at Pickwick a bunch.
Well, maybe Livesey's streak would end at Pickwick, but Brandon Lester, he'd do the daily double. That's right, an open win and an elite win. We'll talk to Brandon Lester about his win at Pickwick next on this special edition of Phoenix Boats Bassmaster Radio on the Bassmaster Radio Network.
Welcome back to Bassmaster Radio, presented by Phoenix Boats. Now, here's your host, Tom Abraham.
And welcome back, Phoenix Boats Bassmaster Radio, as we continue on our path, our special Winning Ways show, our Independence Day weekend Winning Ways show. How about our final champion of this triumvirate? It was Brandon Lester. He is red hot, getting it done at Pickwick Lake. Here was our conversation. Now time for the Rapala Winner's Circle. We did this earlier this year with this guy in a Rapala Winner's Circle when he won at Kissimmee in the Open. And, you know, he's been a fairly regular on the show, and it's just been that good a year for Brandon Lester. But now he has got the blue trophy, and he took it straight to the beach with him along with the family. You can hear the kids in the background playing, and he joins us now for a few minutes. Brandon, welcome back to the show. How are you, man?
Man, I'm doing great, Tom. Life is definitely good. I'm sitting here looking out at the beach, sitting right beside the swimming pool. The kids are playing, so life is definitely good right now.
Nice little 4 or 5 week break here for you guys, which is great, and you do it with the blue trophy. Did you now you don't live that far from Pickwick, so I mentioned you went home first before you headed to the beach, but did you drop the trophy off at the shop? I've been to your shop there in Fayetteville. Did you drop the trophy off at the shop, or did you take it to the beach with you along with the kids strapped in its own seat?
I definitely brought it to the beach with me. It's sitting in here on the counter in the condo that we're staying in this week right now. I had to bring it with me. Actually, a good friend of mine that came to the weigh-in took my rig home for me. So we headed straight from Pickwick, straight to the beach. We drove straight down here and got here Sunday nights or really early Monday morning. But yeah, so it's definitely here with me. I'm going to get some pictures with it on the beach before I leave, matter of fact.
Oh, that would be fantastic. That's a feature at Bassmaster.com. Are you kidding me? You know, taking the trophy around. It's like what they do with the Stanley Cup, you know, when the guys pass it around and pictures of you and the kids and take it down by the beach and all that good stuff, which is tremendous stuff. So this must have been obviously a previously planned trip, though. This isn't a champions. This isn't, honey, look, I won 100 grand. Let's go to the beach.
No, that's not that, huh? Okay. No. No, nothing like this has been planned for 6 months or so. It just kind of happenstance that it happened the way it did. But no, we come to the beach. We've been coming with my family, brought me as a kid, and we come every year. It's something we always look forward to. I love the ocean scene and the beach scene. I'm all about it. So we spend a week down here every summer.
That is absolutely tremendous. So we talked about how after you won at Kissimmee, you won the Open, you were right out of the gate before you fished the first elite event, already in the 2023 Bassmaster Classic, which will be in your home state of Tennessee up out of Knoxville next year, next March, and how that had given you a relief. Oh, by the way, you're now fourth in the points standing. So this fishing loose and loosey-goosey seems to suit you well because, I mean, you've just been rocking and rolling throughout the season.
Yeah, it's definitely helped me out a lot. I mean, it really has. You know, I mean, when I leave the dock every morning, I just don't have any stress on my shoulders. I don't have to worry about points. I don't have to worry about staying above a classic cut line. And I'm not a guy who lets a lot of stress get to me because I realize at the end of the day, all you can do is all you can do. But there is a certain amount of stress that every angler puts on themselves to make it into that Bassmaster Classic. It's such a big, big deal.
Yeah, and I would think that, you know, there's still another hurdle to be crossed. You are fourth place right now in the AOI standings. Your fellow USA Midway, competitor Brandon Polinek leading the way right now. Brandon made it through the entire tournament. His wife Tiffany, she held on with the baby, so he was able to go home, and I'm sure they'll be having it very, very soon. He has a fairly healthy lead, but you know, you could see him from where you're at. He's really good up north too, and as you guys will head for the northern swing, so he might pull away from everybody. But you have to at least, well, got the blue trophy, got the locked into the Classic, won an Open, won a Blue Trophy, and now, you know, why not take a kind of a little bit of a peek here at the AOI?
Absolutely. Yeah, and I mean, you know, with Bassmaster getting the progressive sponsorship for the Angler of the Year for the year, you know, the higher you can finish in that AOI, the more money you're going to make at the end of the year. So am I thinking about it? Absolutely. I mean, I would love nothing more to win AOI, but Pollock is having an amazing season. He's an intense competitor. He's a great guy. There's still some fishing left to go. So is it possible? Yes, it's possible.
Brandon Lester with us here talking about his win at Pickwick. This is a body of water that you are very familiar with. It is not too far from the home, your home in Fayetteville. But having said that, you found something different, didn't you, in practice, right near the end of practice. Everybody was in those on those ledges that are so famous on the Tennessee River, a lot of community holes, guys kind of on top of each other. But you found something in shallow water in practice. Tell us about that a little bit and why you thought that that would reload the way it reloaded. Because it's one thing to do that on day one and go in there and pull a 20-pound-plus bag out of there. But it was day after day after day for you.
Yeah, I've kind of learned the last few years. You know, obviously, Pickwick's a couple hours from my house. Gunnersville's only an hour and 15, hour and 20 minutes. So I'm pretty familiar with that whole ledge fishing scene. And I've learned the past few years that most people, when they think about the traditional Tennessee River ledges, they think of that 12 to 22 feet of water, somewhere in that range, because those fish are easier to see on your electronics. If you want to find that quote-unquote secret spot, you need to look shallower than that or deeper than that, it seems like. So, you know, I was able to find a place that was, it topped out in 4 to 5 feet of water, and it dropped off into like 7 or 8 feet of water. And without that spot, honestly, I don't know if we'd be sitting here having this conversation. I don't know if I could have won the tournament. I still feel like I could have caught some fish, but I don't, having that spot, because every morning I was getting off to a super fast start. I mean, the first morning I had all my weight, 21.6, in the first hour of competition. Wow. It was just a phenomenal spot. And I think a lot of those fish, they were set up there first thing in the morning. When I got there every morning, it was like they were set up and they were ready to feed. It was one of those special spots, one of those needle in a haystack spots that you hear guys find, you know, a few times throughout their career, and I definitely found one, and I was very fortunate to do so last week, for sure.
And you had it to yourself, which is something else that you don't often find on a Tennessee River. So how do you find that spot? I mean, you know, guys out there pre-fishing, you know, fishing one-day tournaments, they got one day to practice maybe, or a half an afternoon to practice. How did you stumble across this spot?
Well, I knew that area right in there, just upriver from the Natchez Trace Bridge, that's always a really good area. It's got a lot of those shallow flats out in there. A lot of those guys on Pickwick, the locals, they call that the flats, right up through there. There's a lot of real good shallow cover through there, a lot of good bars and ditches and stuff that run through there. So I was kind of looking at some of that stuff on my last day of practice. I had found a lot of that deeper community type stuff, but I wanted to find something a little different. So I go up there and I'm idling some of that stuff. And the thing about that shallower stuff, you can't really see those fish on downscan. I run all the RAF electronics on my boat. I've got 212 HDS Lives at the console. I've got 212 HDS Lives up front. That's the system that I really like. And I run the side imaging. I run downscan. I run 2D sonar just so I can get all those different views. Well, I was scanning some of that stuff, and that shallower stuff, those shallower schools, you'll pick them up on side imaging. And that's how I found this particular school of fish. I saw them sitting out to my right side about 60 feet on my Lowrance side scan. And I knew when I saw them, I knew the way they were set up, I knew it was a school of bass. And I knew that I thought there was a good chance I had found one of those special spots.
And they just stayed there. I mean, at the end, you'd pull.
They did.
Now, when you say you had, you know, that first day you had 21 pounds, 6 ounces in a matter of an hour, do you keep beating on them there? Or did you like, okay, I'm going to leave these guys alone. Now I'll move on to something else.
Yeah, I told my marshal, I just kind of wanted to get a feel for how the tournament was going to, how good the guys were going to catch them, how the weights were going to be. I told my marshal that first morning, once I get to 20 pounds, there was no boats around. I told my marshal, once I get to 20 pounds, we're out of here. We're gone. Because I didn't want any other competitors to see me. and I did not want any local traffic, you know, local boats to see me
sure.
on that spot, because I knew that it was it had the potential to be a special spot, and just thankfully nobody else found it.
Now, you did a lot of damage on a Nico rigged worm, the Berkley Powerbait Magnum hit worm, and just talk about that a little bit, because you when you rig that, you go right through the body of the worm, right? I mean, it's wacky with a Nico weight in there, but you go, as opposed to using an O-ring or some sort of a split ring or anything like that, you go right through the body of the worm.
I typically do, yeah. Sometimes I'll use an O-ring if I'm trying to conserve worms, but right before that tournament, I kind of had an inkling that I might be able to catch them on that worm. That worm's been very popular on the Tennessee River the past few years, ever since that worm came out, and I actually made a big order to Midway USA the week before that we had that tournament, and I ordered several packs of them, so I had plenty of them. O-ring, I don't think it hurts you, but when I can get by with it, I just as soon just go right through the body of the worm. I think that gives you the most natural presentation possible.
Now, as it turned out, I mean, you won by 6 pounds. You had that 3-pound call late with the 6-pounder, and you told everybody ball game over when you made that catch. It was in a different spot, deeper water. That's the most emotion I've ever seen out of you. You talk about being an even-keeled guy. I've never heard you yell like that or scream or get excited the way you were then. As it turned out, you really didn't need that fish. It was the difference between a 3-pound win and a 6-pound win, but that was a swim bait, deeper water, more of a ledge situation, right?
It was, yeah. So there was another spot that was right out next to the main river, and it was a more traditional Tennessee River ledge. It topped out in about 14 feet, and it rolled off into about 21 or 22. It was just off the main river ledge. Really good spot. It was a spot that I had found maybe 2 or 3 years ago. I made a top 10 in a Bassmaster Open on Pickwick Lake, and I had found that spot then, and it was the last week of April, and those fish were just getting out, and I had caught some of my fish there. I saw one day of practice, I saw one little school of fish there. I checked it the first 2 days of the tournament, nothing. I guess the current didn't run over it right or whatever. They never did get set up on it. But the third day of the tournament, I rolled over it, and there was a nice little school sitting there. I made a couple of calls late in the day, so I pulled up there about 1 o'clock on day 4. And in my mind, I knew there was a possibility that I already had enough. I already had about probably 19 pounds or so, but I wanted to slam the door on it. I mean, my goal was 20 plus every day, including day 4. I pull up there, I catch a couple on a big crankbait, a 6XD or whatever, and I see one chase up a big gizzard shad. So I fire that scrounger out there, and I catch that 6-pounder, and you're right. I mean, the emotion you saw there was no holding that in. I knew at that moment that there was a very, very high probability that I had just won the tournament.
And it exactly what happened. 22-14 on the final day to have the biggest bag of the final day as well. So that was tremendous stuff. Brandon Lester's been our guest. Brandon, so cool, man, to see this year, the way it's unfolding for you. You're doing a tremendous job. We all knew it was coming, and now here it is. And, well, good luck in the northern swing and keep this thing rolling.
Thank you, Tom. Thank you. I appreciate you having me on, man. It's been amazing, the calls and texts and messages and stuff that I've got the past few days. I can't thank everybody enough. Down here at the beach with my family, and my phone's just blowing up, but that's a dang good problem to have, man. I've met a lot of great people through fishing, and I just appreciate everybody. I really do.
Well, thank you. Finishing top 3, and I'll be calling you again. So just, you know, you keep fishing well, you're gonna be on this show as well. Thanks, man. I appreciate you.
Yes, sir. Have a good one, Tom.
Thank you. How about that guy, Brandon Lester? It's just a stud. We knew this was coming. And we share a home lake, which makes me very happy. All right, we'll be back and wrap it up next. This is Phoenix Boats Bassmaster Radio on the Bassmaster Radio Network.
Welcome back to Bassmaster Radio, presented by Phoenix Boats. Now, here's your host, Tom Abraham.
Final segment of Phoenix Boats Bassmaster Radio, and as we add this show back to the dock, let's take a look at some news and notes from around the pond. Congratulations to Timothy Dube of Nashua, New Hampshire, who secured his limit on the final day and claimed a wire-to-wire win at the TNT Fireworks Bass Nation Northeast Regional at the St. Lawrence River with a three-day total of 62 pounds and 10 ounces. Setting the day one mark with 23-3, Dube added a second-day limit of 21-4 after entering championship Friday with a lead of 2 pounds and 1 ounce over Hamburg, New York's Billy Gilbert. Dube finished with 18-13 and edged Danny McGarry of Newcastle, Canada, by 1 pound and 14 ounces. Now, Dube won the top prize of $5,500 and qualified for the TNT Fireworks Bass Nation Championship, which will be held November 9th through the 11th on Pickwick Lake. Rapala Fantasy Fishing is underway, and you can win great prizes during every elite tournament by going to Bassmaster.com and clicking on the fantasy page to register your team. There are individual prize packages each week and a grand prize for the season-long winner that includes over $20,000 in prizes, plus a fishing trip with Davey Height. You can also play Mercury's Drain the Lake game as well, an eliminator game explained at the site, with weekly prizes and a grand prize that includes a fishing trip with Mark Zona in Michigan. Go to bassmaster.com/fantasy to get signed up today. And check out profishing.shop for our exclusive lifestyle line, hashtag fish on, to proclaim your love of fishing. And take a look at the legendary Lake Series as well. You can even buy Bassmaster radio gear and a new line of coffee mugs. That's profishing.shop. And if you're like me, you never stop learning the best bass fishing techniques and tricks. And now we have a place to find it all in one place at Bass University's bassu.tv/radio. You'll find over 900 training courses from the most talented anglers on the planet, including Mike Iaconelli, Greg Hackney, Jason Christie, John Cox, Hank Cherry, and many more. If you want to become a better bass angler, visit bassu.tv/radio and sign up. That's bassu.tv/radio and begin learning today. Remember, if you missed any of this week's show, it's always just a click away at bassmaster.com/radio or hit the Nation button and click on Bassmaster Radio. So until next time, keep those lines tight and nets heavy. I'm Tom Abraham, and this has been Phoenix Boats Bassmaster Radio on the Bassmaster Radio Network.